The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well, now it's time for our Friday forum. We're joined by Colm Brophy, Fine Gael TD for Dublin South West, and Jim O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Bay South. Mostly we're going to talk about vaccines and fallout and all the rest of it. Good morning and welcome to you both. Jim, we'll start with you. We had a report earlier in the programme from our reporter Barry White about Northern Ireland opening up fairly soon and we remain closed, be it retail, hair and beauty, hospitality, and the likely influx of people from the Republic, certainly from the border counties, into Northern Ireland. Is there anything we could do about that?
Well, I don't think so, Pat, but I think it's a good news story, the fact that Northern Ireland is opening up. Obviously, they're a couple of weeks ahead of us in terms of the percentage of the population there that have been vaccinated. But I think it does provide a good roadmap for us as to what we can expect maybe a number of 3 or 4 weeks after Northern Ireland. But I suppose you point to a valid issue that people may travel from the Republic over into Northern Ireland. But of course, at present, you can't leave your home, you can't leave your county unless you have a reasonable excuse. So the law still precludes people from doing that. But listen, I think the positive thing about this is that we will be opening ourselves up in May. And I think it would be beneficial if the government set out a timeline and a roadmap in the same way as they did yesterday for Northern Ireland. Because they announced yesterday that hairdressers in Northern Ireland will open on the 23rd of April. On the 30th of April, all retail and outdoor hospitality and gyms will open. And on the 24th of May, indoor dining and hotels and pubs will open. And I think it would be beneficial if we try to replicate a similar roadmap.
Yeah, because their total opening up, same as in the UK, they put a date and they say not earlier than, I think, for the total opening up everything. In other words, they're giving themselves a little bit of wriggle room that if things go bad, they can actually, you know, pause for a bit longer.
Yeah. Colm? Well, I think that makes sense as well. Sorry, I didn't want to come in there instead of Colm.
Colm?
Yeah, well, listen, the government is working on updating the opening up plans for here. I would agree with Jim that I think it is nice to see for people living in Northern Ireland that they have that flexibility now and freedoms to enjoy the fact that they have had a couple of weeks ahead of us on terms of vaccines. I would, though, make the message really, really clear for people here because of the amount of effort that everybody has collectively put into it. There is only a few weeks in it, and for everybody's health, for everybody's safety, to observe the regulations, to stay within their county or that 20-kilometre zone within it for people near the edge of the counties, and not to be travelling up north, and to wait and to support our local businesses here who are waiting for their chance to reopen and really do want your custom as soon as they have that opportunity to it. So I think that is just a message that I'd like people just to take on board if they could, because collectively we've all worked so hard and all the figures are going in the right way. The trajectories are right. The vaccine program is rolling out. We just need to give ourselves that extra few weeks and then we can start seeing those benefits as well.
Now, the question of vaccines, I mean, in Northern Ireland, as in the UK, a mixture of Pfizer, BioNTech and also AstraZeneca. I mean, they're ahead of us, basically, because they've loads of AstraZeneca. And yet, for whatever reasons, we decided to scare everybody with the prospect that they would develop a blood clot. You know, part of the success of Northern Ireland is AstraZeneca. How do we then explain to people the anomaly between us and them? Jim.
Well, I think we need to recognise that AstraZeneca is a very safe vaccine. It's been approved by the EMA. It's been approved by the regulatory authorities in the UK and in other countries. Obviously, there was the announcement last week in respect of it, but people need to put this risk in perspective. It is a very small risk that you could develop a blood clot from AstraZeneca. And if you're trying to avoid blood clots, the most important thing you should do is to try to ensure that you don't get COVID-19, because you have a much higher chance of getting a blood clot from COVID-19 than you do from AstraZeneca. And I think the study from Oxford University yesterday revealed that about 5 in a million people given the AstraZeneca jab may develop a blood clot, not necessarily a fatal one. So we need to put the numbers in perspective, Pat. But I think in Ireland, like the government has placed much more emphasis on the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. And like in quarter two, we will receive 2.6 million doses of Pfizer-BioNTech into the country, and they'll be administered in April, May and June. So like in total, we will have in quarter two, 4.4 million doses of vaccine to be administered. We get them in very quickly when they arrive. So listen, we're going to be in a remarkably different place when it comes to May and June, and we'll hopefully have 80% of the adult population vaccinated by the end of June.
Do you think, though, that the government, of which are both parties of government, do you think that they played it right? Because, I felt that the pressure was coming from announcements by other countries that they were limiting the AstraZeneca to certain age cohorts and different in different countries. And then Denmark decides to abandon it entirely. And we seem to be reacting to that rather than, if you like, taking our own very dispassionate scientific view rather than reacting to other countries.
No, well, that's not actually correct, Pat. I mean, we did actually give time for our own scientific people to look at it and make their recommendation. So we didn't react to any other country's decision. We took the time to look at it. And yes, you can argue it's an abundance of caution, but I think that's the right way to approach this, particularly because we are in a position through the Pfizer and the other vaccines to actually meet the targets that we want to meet for the rollout in terms of getting our population vaccinated. So having that option, an abundance of caution was the right approach, but it was based on our own medical decisions and our own advice to government from our own medical side. The one key message, though, that is really, really important is that the vaccines are safe. And if you are getting AstraZeneca, it is far, far better for you than actually delaying getting a vaccine and putting yourself at that increased risk. So whatever vaccine you're offered, based on the medical advice that's out there, it'll be safe for you to take, and you should take it. And I think that's really important because collectively
why exclude huge age cohorts from the vaccine if the EMA says it's safe? You're now saying it's safe. So why not plough ahead and get more people vaccinated more quickly?
Because we can, through the process we have in place with the Pfizer and the other vaccines which we have available to us, and using AstraZeneca in the way we're using it, and just to keep that, as has been described correctly, I think the abundance of caution in relation to AstraZeneca. But I think it is important to remember that the vaccines are safe, and it's our own medical advice from our own medical professionals here that's recommended this course of action, and that's the one the government is following.
One of our News Talk texters, M in Cork, says, and this is apropos of something you said, Jim, the North are way more than a couple of weeks ahead of us in terms of vaccines. People in their 40s have at least had one jab. We haven't even managed to get all our over 65s done yet, and there are still many over 70s still waiting. My aunt is 76, still has no idea when she'll get her first dose. The misinformation is really irritating, says M. What about that, Jim? It's not just 2 weeks, a couple of weeks, which is two. It's many more weeks than that before we catch up, and therefore many more weeks of lost business going across the border and so on.
Well, they have a different strategy in the UK, as you're aware, Pat. They decided that they were going to try and get as many people vaccinated with the first dose first. And that probably does explain why people in Northern Ireland in their 40s are being vaccinated now. But listen, we know that these vaccines are very effective. And even after a first dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech one, you have 80% protection. Listen, we will ultimately catch up. But I just want to emphasise that I think as we get into May and June, the numbers are all in the right way. As Colm has indicated, we're getting the vaccine rolled out quite significantly. Like, there are very considerable risks in not opening up the country, in keeping the country closed down. And we talk about an abundance of caution, but all our caution seems to be emphasised on the disease and the consequences of the disease, which are severe. But there are other consequences that we aren't seeing yet in terms of the psychological impact of lockdown, the physical impact on young people and children, the economic consequences, and they are factors that have to be taken into account as well when government are making decisions, and I'm sure government will take them into account.
Yeah, now, and we were talking on this programme again.
Just for your texter's information, in terms of, there is a very substantial ramp-up in our programme, which takes place in the next couple of months, which is where we have that commitment that by the end of June, you'll have that figure being reached of the 4 to 5 adults having at least something there in terms of first dose of a vaccine. So while it looks at this point in time as if there is maybe a bigger gap than there is between ourselves and Northern Ireland, you will see a very, very substantial ramp up in terms of delivery in the next coming couple of months here in Ireland.
I get the impression from both of you think the government did a great job, but I mean, we're going to talk about quarantine and now the challenge by our European neighbours as to whether or not it is appropriate or even legal. But I'm looking at figures which I mentioned earlier on lateral flow tests, which are being used in the UK and in Northern Ireland in the schools. Twice a week, the kids will test themselves. And they've administered in the week from, or the month from 8th of March to the 4th of April, 26 million lateral flow tests. So if you adjust for population here, we would have done almost 2 million if we'd bothered. But we didn't bother. Can anyone explain to me why we didn't bother?
Well, I suppose the testing emphasis is the PCR testing that we do and which is accounted for every evening when we hear the results. And like in the last 7 days, we conducted 105,000 of those tests, Pat. And I remember a number of months ago when people were saying we'll never get up to 100,000 a week. We're doing that now consistently. And the most important aspect of that is that the positivity rate is down to something like 2.8 at this stage. So listen, we certainly will need to start using antigen testing much more appropriately and much more frequently. I received a presentation from Leinster Rugby last week about how they're proposing to get crowds back to rugby. It involves antigen testing. It's an excellent idea. The government needs to run with it, in my opinion. And not only will it be useful to open up all sporting events, but it's also going to be the mechanism to open up cultural events and get the arts back up and running as well.
The idea that people would go, they'd get their tickets or whatever, they would go and get an antigen test. It takes between 15 minutes and half an hour to get the result. If they turn positive, they'd be sent home. Otherwise, they can move in. I think there's 2,000 people recommended for that Leinster match. There'd be four different cohorts of 500. There'd be social distancing and all the rest. But the key to it is lateral testing. And still, we in this jurisdiction, Colm, are talking about pilot projects. You know, when you've got 26 million tests administered in the UK in the space of a month, you don't need a pilot project. You just go and have a look at what they've done and what they've learned.
Yeah, well, the actual key to reopening is the vaccine program. I mean, as important as testing is, and I would agree with Jim on the incredible ramp up, because I remember sitting through committee meetings and sitting through programs like your own program and people querying whether we would ever be able to get to the 100,000 figure in terms of testing. We have very, very successfully ramped up our testing program. But the key really to reopening is the vaccine program and the rollout of that.
I don't think you get it. In Galway, in Limerick, where you had college outbreaks, you know, if you had lateral flow testing, antigen testing there, you could have avoided those. You could have sent the people home who were infectious to quarantine. Factories could have been kept open. The building sites could have been kept open with antigen testing. In other words, the economy would not have suffered as much as it did if they had brought in routine antigen testing. But for some reason, and bear in mind with Professor Ferguson's report, the two people who objected to that report, which had you know, very large support within the committee, were someone from the HSE and someone from NPHET. Like, what's going on? What did they find problematic about it?
Well, I'm not a medical expert on this, and I know that there is a view on the effectiveness of the testing and the in terms of positives and the rates at which you have to carry it out. I can't, because I'm not enough of a medical expert to argue, but I don't think, Pat, which you seem to be thinking, that there's some plan or thing, that there's some reason why NPHET would deliberately set out to object to something, or you know, I think the government has been well advised by NPHET. I think it has given solid and good advice, and I think the fact that we have followed where we can and implemented to the extent we can that advice has served us to the point where we are now.
Well,
very
minister
much
after
coming
minister
out
has said to me they're in favour of antigen testing, but it simply doesn't happen. I don't. We'll get to the bottom of it someday. Jim, I should go to you as a legal expert on whether or not we're okay to quarantine the Italians and the French or whoever else from within the EU that we want to exclude. What do you think?
Well, obviously the concern of the other countries is that they say this is interfering with free movement of people within between member states. But I think we need to recognise, Pat, that in our own country, in our own member state, Ireland, there isn't free movement. I can't go beyond my county or 20 kilometres from where I live unless I have an essential reason for doing so. So like there are extraordinarily draconian measures imposed on Irish people at present. They're short term, hopefully. And obviously the mandatory hotel quarantine is also a draconian measure. And I also hope that will be short term. But since it's there for a particular public health purpose, which is to keep out variants, I believe it is legal. But obviously we have to ensure that the measures we introduce with it are proportionate and we don't start applying it in an arbitrary way where different people are treated differently. So listen, it's a difficult proposal, but I think it's the correct proposal, but it is going to be short term. And I think the benefit of it is seen in the fact that yesterday it was announced that already 18 cases of COVID have been identified by the hotel quarantine system, and that included 4 probable variants of concern. So there's a reason to this. It's to try to keep the variants out of the country whilst we're getting everyone vaccinated in the country.
Yeah, but in terms of identifying potentially infectious people in the UK, 30,904 positive results came as a result of self-testing by antigens. Divide that by 14 or whatever to get a comparator here, and over 2,500 cases would have been found in a month if we had that kind of testing. But anyway, that's perhaps for another day. Colm, you know, the squabbling between ministers Coveney and Donnelly over all of this. Minister Coveney seemed to predict what actually has come about, a lack of capacity and angering our European neighbours.
Well, there's two things. First of all, there wasn't a squabble between Minister Coveney and Donnelly on this. There's a process which is engaged in where the two ministers form part of the government process for confirming the list and adding or removing from it, and they engaged in that. We have a situation where I don't think we have a capacity issue. I know the booking system is reopened people can make their bookings for hotels for the quarantine process again. The other thing I would say is this, though. It is very, very important that we recognise that if you're going to have a system, which the quarantine process does, which prohibits movement or restricts movement or limits movements, all our European colleagues have looked and done versions of limitations on people within their own country or moving between state or moving between lander and lander or whatever, just like we're doing here. So it is a proportionate response. It is a short-term response. And while I take on board, obviously, that the European Commission will, of course, have the right to ask a question, the Italian ambassador makes a point on behalf of Italians. But it is important to recognise that the government, when going through this process, engaged in plenty of notification and advance notification
with the European countries, Colm.
And the European Commission.
Yeah. Colm Brophy, Fine Gael TD for Dublin South West, Jim O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Bay South. Thank you both very much for joining us.